Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rotten.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanek.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's your sports bros. Hello.
You guys shut up.
It's Rop. That's me. Big Suki's right over there. I see him.
Yeah.
So, dude. Still bald.
Yeah, extra bald today.
We will be checking in on the baseballs, probably because it's one of the last times we can do it as the NFL starts tomorrow.
Yeah, but once the NFL and then college football, look, it's going to get put on the back burner until we get to the postseason.
Yeah, so we'll do that this hour. Three sleeps. Let's see. One, two, three. To Oregon, Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. One sleep to the NFL.
So we'll get to that this hour.
Thursday night football is fantastic when it's the first game of the year because it's actually going to be a good game and not a hunk of crap.
You think it will be a good game?
Well, I mean...
You believe that?
At least it's not the short week. Look, Thursday night football usually is pretty brutal. The first one, though, both teams being rested. Look, I think Dallas is ridiculously overrated, but, you know, supposedly their defense got a little bit better, and if Dak is healthy, might be able to give him a run. Plus, you get a Super Bowl hangover from Tampa. What's the spread on that? Six?
8.5, I think.
8.5?
Let me look at the latest one here. I was getting back to this.
I'd be inclined.
Guy calling us classist D's for our homeless takes.
Why are we being classless?
Well, I just love that. Well, because we were talking about the homeless, and he says we're being classist jerks.
Oh.
Because where are the homeless supposed to go? Well, look, how about somewhere that works for everyone? Because where are our rights? Classes D's have rights too.
Yeah. You know, the people that do work and pay property taxes.
That's right.
And don't want to have their property stolen and broken into and catalytic converter stolen. And
that doesn't mean we're heartless.
And crap everywhere.
It doesn't mean
garbage bins, filtered through and thrown all over the streets.
That makes me a classless D?
No, not classless. Classist.
Classist.
Garbage strewn everywhere.
Down
the highways.
Anyway, what were you asking?
Let me just say this.
The points, Brad.
I have nothing against someone that's homeless. I have something against someone that's homeless and then decides to act in that certain manner. So there you go. And by the way, I would say the same about someone that does own a house. Because if someone lived next to me and treated their house that exact same way and had, you know, all kinds of those same issues, I would have an issue with them too. So it's not really the homeless thing that I have an issue with. It's the other behavior. So go ahead and roll it up real tight and cram it.
It's 8.5 tampon.
8.5. You know what? I'm kind of inclined to take Dallas.
They got a lot of COVIDs. They got 9 COVIDs and Zach Martin's out maybe.
Yeah, that's a weird thing.
Dak's coming back from an injury.
First game of the season.
Yeah, I know.
It's not like
And
it's
Dallas,
not like the NFL has got like a bunch of really bad teams that are going to just
Dallas has weapons. Dallas.
Oh, do you remember the first game last year was St. Louis and Dallas? Or, I mean, the L.A. Rams and Dallas?
Well,
it was 20-17. It was very close.
Yeah. I would tend to, if I'm making that bet, and I probably won't.
That spread's too high because everybody just piles on Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa. You look at it, you're like, Tampa's that much better, and Tampa brings everyone back. And
I mean, it's kind of gotten to a point now where taking the +8.5 is smart. Just for an NFL game, two decent team, one great team, one pretty good team.
Yeah.
You get a touchdown?
Well, we get our picks are coming tomorrow at 4 in Rop in the Bank.
Yes.
I will be on my NFL selection or selections. I will be fading the public.
It's usually
I feel like that's the best way to go week one.
Yeah, it's usually a wise bet.
Because nobody knows crap.
When lines get set and everyone is like 85% one way, it's probably a safe bet to lean the other direction. That happened in college. I'm trying to remember who it was. Oh, it was the Notre Dame thing. And by the way, I fell for this because I took Notre Dame. But I think it was like 80, I want to say it was 85 plus percent of the action was on Notre Dame to cover the 7. And then they were up by 18 and we're all living a happy fizzy party. And then sure enough, here comes Florida State and no cover.
Ooh, now we're called a see you next Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. And we were told to go F ourselves and we're called a bootlicker.
Yeah.
And now they're hoping that we experience
the
reality firsthand.
God, sir. Hmm. I do believe this person is mean.
That does seem a little bit.
Doesn't seem very compassionate
so
at all.
Now wishing us to be homeless.
Yeah.
And the see you next Tuesday.
That's a lot of anger.
Yeah. That's not good.
Sir, you might need to go talk to somebody.
It's not good for one soul.
Yeah, let it out. You know, go into a bridge, yell, get a pillow or something, punch it.
Yeah. Go to a therapist, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Get those demons out of there, man.
Yeah, rolling up. I mean, lighten up.
What do I have in the club here? You can guess the whitest and blackest states, or can you?
Well, I know we're the whitest city, but I don't think we're the whitest state.
Nope. We're not on the list.
I'm looking right at you, Dakotas.
We have a lot of Asians.
Maybe Montana.
Here in the Northwest.
Yeah, we do.
Seattle, Portland, Vancouver.
Well, that's not us, but Washington.
Well, I'm just saying, like, yeah, that's why. So you can't just think of it in terms of black and white.
Yeah.
You know.
There's others.
There are others. That's right.
Well, you do put that, right? It's like Caucasian, black, Pacific Islander.
You guys are such classist jerks.
We are classist.
And then you get the other. You can just fill out the I'm not interested in, participating in this.
I think we've teased enough. There may be more stuff. Maybe less. Don't know. The Hot 5 at 5 right now.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
That's the bottom line, damn it.
The enormity of their stupidity is just overwhelming.
Who's winning? What is occurring?
Number five. Number five.
Ah, yes. Number five. I'm a big fan of number five. There's not a lot of pressure on number five.
No, it's number five does yeoman's work, though.
It's just kind of like, oh, this also happened, you know?
It's like the left guard, right?
Yeah.
The game is very rarely won because of him, but you'll notice it if he's out.
For some reason, Derek Jeter was enshrined into the Hall of Fame today.
Along with Larry Walker.
I don't really get why it happened today. Maybe the COVID thing? Let's go to resident Yankee fan Mike.
I'm looking right at you, Mike.
Why it happened today?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just when the ceremony was?
No, it's always in the summer.
It's just when the ceremony was. I don't know.
Mike, you know nothing. How are you a sports talk host? Anyway, Derek Jeter, whatever. He was great.
Larry Walker wore a SpongeBob pin to commemorate. Remember when he found out he was wearing that weird SpongeBob NASCAR shirt? I thought it was kind of nice that Larry Walker paid a homage to that.
And frankly, I found Derek Jeter's speech to be a little boring.
Yeah, well, he's a bore.
Yes, he is.
Did you see that he only has two little girls?
No. Did you think he had more?
I just didn't know. I didn't know his situation. I know he married What's-Her-Nuts.
Married the
Hannah Davis.
Hannah Jeter, yeah.
But I didn't know. I assumed they had kids, but I didn't know. Anyway, I saw his little girls at the speech today. He's got two little girls, and they're adorable.
Cute as the Dickens.
But does it bother you? Does it, like, do you see a guy like Derek Jeter not having a boy and kind of go, ooh, that sucks?
You're not allowed to say that anymore because of Kobe. Hashtag girl dad. You're canceled. Not only are you a classist jerk.
I can't.
But now you're not a sexist bastard, too.
Well, you know, but you know what I mean? Like,
why can't his daughters go on to be a great softball player?
I can't imagine that.
They can. I'm
just
saying.
It's all too bad to have daughters when the mom is Hannah Jeter.
Well, there's that. But don't a lot of guys want the boy? You know, I think that's a normal human.
They can still have a boy.
Well, I know. I'm just saying he doesn't have one yet. Clock's a ticking, you know. Yeah, Hannah's not getting any.
I think we've all learned something today about Isaac.
Looks good, though. I'm a sexist and classist pig.
Yes.
I didn't even give you a number three. Number four, I mean. The Mariners and Astros game today, if you were looking for it on TV, it was exclusively on YouTube. And the Mariners actually did rebound and win that game against Houston 8-5.
And it was a heartbreaker. They had scored an extra run in the eight to give them an insurance run. And then Bregman hit a two-run homer yesterday in the ninth to tie it up. And then
stupid Bregman.
The Astros won in extras.
The Giants won again today, beating the Rockies 7-4. Dodgers are losing 3-1 early on against the Cardinals.
What is that? Well, are the Giants in first place still?
Yep, one game. Saints are working on a trade for cornerback help. They're about to land Texans veteran Bradley Roby.
Basically, anyone is available at the Houston Texans office. Like, it's a fire sale.
They're tanking.
Well, and they announced that Deshaun Watson is not going to start, but they won't call him hurt.
He said he's not going to play.
Yeah, he's just there.
Well, he's
not
accused of being a creepo.
He's not on the commissioner's exempt list or anything, so they're just paying him to sit there.
Yeah, it's weird.
Bizarre.
Browns defensive end Jadeveon Clowney did not practice today due to illness. Cleveland opens its season in Kansas City. And the Niners are still unsure of Trey Lance's status. Jimmy Garoppolo confirming he will start. Of course, the NFL season opens tomorrow with Tampa hosting Dallas. Ryder Cup, 2 weeks away, Whistling Straits, Wisconsin. This will be the youngest U.S. team ever with an average age of 28. The Steve Stricker captain's picks today were Scottie Scheffler over Patrick Reed. Then also Tony Finau, Harris English, Xander Schauffele, Jordan Spieth, and Daniel Berger.
And Brooksy and the Doucher did say that they will put aside any sort of rivalry. And I saw that Steve Stricker today said that Tiger believes he will play golf again.
All right.
Well, I guess they're buddies, so.
The U.S. team is stacked. We have Cantlay, we have Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, Colin Morikawa, DeChambeau, and Koepka. The evil Europeans are led by Jon Rahm and Rory McIlroy. While the team of the United States is loaded, it is only 3-9 in the last 12 Ryder Cups. So it should be good. That's a great event.
Yeah,
sporting event.
I'm not a diehard golf fan like you, but the Ryder Cup is always
number one
something to get into, and it's fun to get a little patriotic, man. And I love
that's right.
And I love the spirit. Like all that golf polite crap goes out the window, and you can get some. You can get some back and forth chutzpah.
Mario Cristobal updating the status of Kayvon Thibodeau today, saying he's not sure if he can play Saturday.
He's going to give it a whirl.
He's still day to day.
I would be stunned.
Probably some gamesmanship there.
Yeah, I'd be stunned if he doesn't suit up. Now, he may not be 100%, and he may not play a bunch, but there, I just can't see any sort of scenario barring, you know, him just being in horrific shape where he doesn't give that thing a whirl against Ohio State. And they definitely need him in this game.
No, wait, is Justin Flo hurt too?
So that was the rumor going around today, is that Flo broke his foot. But everything that I've seen is that is just a rumor and no confirmation on any of that. So I think at this point it's safe to assume that that is not a real report. Multiple people said they saw him walking around after practice. You know, no boot, no nothing.
Yeah, somebody tweeted that he was playing football or he's throwing the ball around and stuff.
Yeah, so that was a rumor that was going around on some message boards and was happening on Twitter that Flo was out, that he broke his foot, but I have not seen anything that comes close to confirming that.
All right, there's your hot five. It's refreshed by Coors Light. Live sports are back, always better with a nice cold Coors Light. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment, lead to chill. Do you like to talk about Oregon, Ohio State? Because I do.
Yes, let's do it.
I do. Let's do it. We're going to do that next. It's 518 on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List, you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Now the guy's devolved into your mom jokes. Man, mad respect.
He's very angry.
He is very angry.
He said, your mom would be so proud. And I said, that she probably is. My mom's a great lady, too.
Yeah, I don't know if my mom's proud of me or not. Probably not.
I don't think my dad is.
She does listen. So.
Well, I know my dad isn't. The rest of my family, but I feel like my mom is.
She doesn't like it when I make booby jokes, but.
Yeah. I think my mom.
I just say, babe, that's who I am. Or, I mean, mom. Sorry.
Hey, baby.
My wife doesn't like it either.
Hey, baby cakes.
Hey-o.
Hey.
Really?
You have that kind of relationship, huh?
Really?
Yeah, one of those stepmom things.
So if Oregon doesn't have Thibodeau.
It's a huge blow.
Well, of course.
Well, and you're out one of your linebackers, too, with, why can't I think of his name now?
Well, what's his nuts?
Why am I drawing a blank on the?
Because you're an idiot.
The Will linebacker that's hurt.
And I'd help you, but I don't have.
Because your mom's disappointed. It's Justin Flo.
No.
No.
It's not Flo. It's the other guy.
Oh,
Mathis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
The senior.
I'm like, why can't
the old guy?
Why can't I think of his name? So
he's out.
Now your mom's definitely disappointed in you.
You're out. You're out. One of your linebackers. Your starting linebackers, which means again, you're playing another youngin. And although. Look, you've got some very, very talented young linebackers, but the bigger issue here is that if Thibodeau can't go, or if he's not anywhere close to 100%, I think he's going to give it a whirl, but you know, we'll wait and see. If he can't go, you don't have the ability to generate a pass rush, at least from what we saw in against Fresno State. For 3.5 quarters, you got no rush whatsoever, and Hayner had all the time in the world to throw.
Okay, so can I just paint a scenario for you?
Yeah.
Offensively, we don't love the offensive line matchup for the Ducks.
I think it's the biggest mismatch in the
game. Okay, so then we go to the other side of the ball, and we go, all right, well, maybe the Ducks defense, you know?
Yeah.
But Thibodeau's got a bad ankle.
Yeah.
Even if he does play, those don't just heal in a week.
No, he's going to be limited.
You're without Mathis. I don't Justin Flo thing. I'm with you. It doesn't sound like there's anything to that.
I haven't heard anything. So
he'll be fine. Or I mean, yeah. There's nothing to indicate that he's hurt.
Sounds like he's fine.
That to me, well, just combine those two things. What do you got? You got a good punter.
I actually think
the corners are coming back.
I would say if you wanted the group. That played the best
linebackers.
I think it's special teams. Honestly, I think your punter was probably your best player. And
win the special teams, win the game.
Look, Snee punted the ball really.
He was great.
He punted the ball really, really well. Now, I thought the linebackers in the run game were really good. The pass game, I think it was more of a struggle there. So while I think you love what the young linebackers were doing in one aspect, this is going to be a different challenge because Ohio State loves the short to intermediate passing game. In fact, they use it kind of as an extension of their run game. So look, this is just a tough matchup. It just is. But you do get some help back with the two DBs coming back. How much they're going to play, if they're going to start, we're not certain. But having them back is a big, big deal because this is the best wide receiving core in the country. And if you can't generate a pass rush, you're going to be asking them to cover for a significant period of time, and you need all hands on deck. Look, it's a tough matchup. It just is, which to me, the best way to combat Ohio State's offense is to just keep them on the sideline, which means Oregon has to do a better job of running the football. They have to be able to run. If Oregon can't establish a run, I think this game is going to get away from them in a real big hurry. The good part was, up until their running back got hurt, Minnesota was able to run the ball, and they were able to run it pretty effectively.
That's the thing, is Minnesota has one of the most experienced offensive lines in all of college football.
Yeah.
And they lost by 14, and they are at home.
Yeah. And you don't.
And got them before you did.
Well, and you don't have a great offensive line. That was my biggest concern coming into this year, was the O-line, especially the three guys in the middle. And look, it reared its ugly head.
It's going to be a blowout, isn't it? Oregon, Ohio State. Text 503-250-1080. What are you expecting?
I loved Oregon 13.5 when I got it 2 months ago. I don't love it now. In fact, if I was betting,
Well, you can hedge it.
I didn't bet a bunch, but I think if I had to place that bet again, I would probably lean towards Ohio State at this point.
I don't like the spread. When I look at this game, I don't know. I could see Oregon. Oregon's got a lot of good players. I just feel like they could keep it close because they're at that level now. But at the same time, when you really dig into what we've seen so far, I'm inclined to take Ohio State. But I'm not going to bet it anything. It's
one game, and you got to be careful making any sort of sweeping judgments off of one game. It's just that when you go into something with a perception, and maybe this is confirmation bias, but when you go into a game and you've got some concerns about where this team is, and then those concerns are, what would you say? They're confirmed, right? That scares you a little bit against a team that is physically 7 times worse than Ohio State, 10 times worse.
Yeah, but if they had impressed you, you'd be saying the opposite. You'd be like, well, it was just Fresno State. This is a different animal, and we don't really know yet.
But you would feel way better about it. It's one thing when you blow out a team that you're supposed to blow out and you're like, hey, at least against this, we know it's good. But when you're like, I'm not certain about this offensive line, and then you get your asses whipped for 3.5 quarters and you can't run the ball and you can't really protect, that scares the living daylights out of me. So, you know, Oregon just has to play a lot better, and you're probably going to need some help from Ohio State. And you have to be able to make them one-dimensional. I keep going back to this, but I thought PJ Fleck was brutally honest in his assessment when they got done playing Ohio State. And he said they did just enough running the ball that it killed us in the second half because we had to worry about them running the ball. And I will go to I'll scream this from the mountaintop. If you want the two biggest matchups in this game for me, it's going to be, can Oregon successfully run the football? And this isn't any sort of great mystery. This usually is a big deal when it comes to football games. Oregon has to be able to run the ball and keep Ohio State off the field. We know Oregon isn't going to be this super high-powered flying offense that the Chip Kelly days. They need to be able to grind this out and get Ohio State into some muddy waters. Same thing that Minnesota tried to do against them and did for 2.5 quarters. They ran the ball, kept Ohio State on the sidelines, and hoped that Ohio State shot themselves in the foot a little bit on offense. If you can do that, you can get this game into the second half, and then hopefully funky things can happen. So that's one. And then on the other side of it, you have to not be able to stop the run. You have to be able to stop the run with your front seven. You're going to have to play two high safeties. You cannot roll coverage towards Olave and just say, hey, we're going to live with one-on-one on the other side. It's not going to work. You have to be able to play two deep safeties and try to keep the stuff in front of you. And if you can't, if Ohio State is gashing you and you're forcing your linebackers to now play downhill, right, where you're getting the three young guys just flooding the line of scrimmage to shut it down, and you're having to get the safeties or safety coming up, that's when Ohio State not only can beat you over the top, but there's probably not a better team this side of Alabama at the underneath crossing routes. And so you're going to need your linebackers to be disciplined. And if you're having to worry about Ohio State ramming it down your throat, that's where you get into problems, because they show you run and then they work the crossing routes And now you've gotten behind the linebackers, and then that too forces the safeties up. And now Ohio State takes the shots behind you, and this is what they did against Minnesota, and it was a death sentence. Every one of their touchdowns was a 30-yard touchdown, including a little screen pass that ended up going for whatever it was, 60 or 70 yards. So those are just kind of, a couple simple basic areas where Oregon really has to excel in order to get this thing into the second half. And I think that's all you're hoping for if you're a Duck fan, is get this into the middle of the third, start of the fourth quarter, and have it be a one-score game. Drag them into deep water, and you know, hopefully you can make some clutch plays like you did against Fresno.
Most people texting us are saying Ohio State big. I don't think Duck fans have a lot of – they don't think they feel very good going into this.
Probably not.
However, the uniforms look great. I don't know if you saw those, but they released them. They're going the whites.
You know why I love them.
Why?
It's the whites.
You love the whites.
I love it.
You're a racist, classist, sexist pig.
You know I love the whites.
That you do.
You privileged jerk.
You classist ass.
Look, I have been critical over the years with Oregon's unis. The last 3 or 4 or 5 years, they have been hammer. Their unis are great.
And I just have always preferred the whites.
And I love this combination.
Hey, look at that.
I wish I could have more white things. The color white to me just always works.
It does. It's all on tape.
It does.
Yeah, they're wearing the all whites with the white helmets and the green.
Now, the other thing to keep an eye on here.
Green, whatever.
Little X's nosy here. When you go back and watch Minnesota, they were phenomenal at the cutback. Ohio State's linebackers, if you want a weakness with Ohio State, I kind of think it's their linebackers. It's the one spot that doesn't necessarily have like loaded preseason, All-American, All-Big Ten guys. And against Minnesota, they got washed out a lot. And basically what that means is, like, if you're starting to run to the right, their linebackers are all athletic and run real well. And Minnesota did a great job of just letting them run that way, washing them all down, and then having the nice cutback lanes. Whether it's Dye or whether it's CJ, Oregon has to have their backs do a better job in the cutback lanes. I like both of these guys. They run real hard, but they tend to be just put your foot in the ground and run with their head down. They've got to have some patience and they've got to have some vision and let that cutback lane develop. I thought there were a lot of times, and I've been pretty critical of the Oregon offensive line when I went back and watched the Fresno game. They were not very good, but I'll give them this. There were a lot of times that there were some nice cutback lanes available because Oregon did a good job being athletic and washing guys down, and Verdell and Dye didn't make cutbacks. I would assume at practice watching the Minnesota tape that they are going to be preaching to their guys. Chances are we're not knocking them back off the line of scrimmage, but we can wash them and that cutback's going to be there. So that's another thing. A little key to the game is if Oregon successfully runs the ball, I believe it will be in the cutback game, not necessarily the front side of the run.
All right, more on the past two meetings between Oregon and Ohio State coming up next. It was very sportsy, by the way. Well, you're very X's and O's.
You wanted to talk
Oregon,
Ohio State, and I gave you a little something.
I love it. And then we check in on the baseballs. Okay, but first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Can I tell you my favorite thing, my favorite lie, or like just mistruth that football fans believe, and I get it every year, is the wait till we show them our full offense. I am fascinated.
No, that's right. The Fresno game, that was not even real. It's a different team.
This idea that
coming out on Saturday.
They had a whole different playbook for
that's
that.
Right.
That you're in the fourth quarter and you're losing.
They had all season, all offseason to put together the fake playbook for Fresno State. Ohio State won't know what hit them.
I don't know how many run plays in a playbook you like just I see you people. Great. Now I'm being now you people. This idea out there that people think that there's like 1,000 run plays. And you're only putting in like 6 for Fresno State, and that the other 990 that are going to come out for Ohio State. Guess what? This is your run game. There's only so many ways to block things. Like Power G gets run basically the same way by every team.
I would like, okay, so this is what would make my job easier. Okay, this is how I feel about this. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Somebody needs to bait you on this every day on the text line, and it will kill 2 segments of you bitching back at them. And then I don't have to do anything.
It's perfect. I think you underestimate Oregon's game plan of bland play against Fresno State. They didn't want to be battered and bruised when they faced Ohio State.
That's right.
They did get battered and bruised.
In your face.
This idea that if you run certain plays, you're going to get hurt versus other ones. I can assure you people out there that there is not some sort of secret run game that exists for Ohio State that they didn't put in for Fresno State. You may run.
Don't you think he's baiting you?
No, I think that people really do believe this because I get it all the time.
I saw that all over social media in the Fresno game. Guys, don't worry about it. It's just a vanilla game plan. They're not gonna show all their cards before the Buckeyes.
Now you can do this where you're going to run different plays out of different looks, and you're gonna get shifts and motions, and they'll maybe show you a different personnel package and run the play out of it. Or maybe again a different route combination, but I just we have got to stop. We are a very educated football world now, but for some reason this is like the old religious belief that we're still holding on to, that every week that you just play everything so close to your chest, and then in the big game you unleash you unleash the Kraken.
I'm okay with you comparing this to religion. That's great. I'm following. Fantastic.
Oh, no! They're going to break out the spin T for Ohio State. Exactly.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, we're going to
Yes, they are.
Wing T, baby. Let's go.
Did you see what Urban Meyer tweeted about this game?
What'd he say?
You know, he's the coach of the Jags now. No longer at Ohio State.
Yeah. By the way, did you see that you can get into that Jags opener for $28? Cheapest ticket in the NFL.
Why would I want to do that?
Well, I'm just saying. The cheapest ticket, I saw they were doing cheapest ticket for each game. And of course, the Tampa Dallas game is the most expensive. $278, cheapest to get in the door. But Jacksonville, you could get in for under $30.
Well, they are playing the Texans.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, who's going to go to that? Well, I actually think that's expensive.
Well, for $28?
Yeah. That's a lot.
That's pretty good value.
Why?
You got parking and maybe you want to watch Trevor Lawrence.
Like, I'd pay $15 to watch Trevor Lawrence.
Tyrod Taylor?
No. -5. 10. Now I'm down to 10.
Okay. All right, what do you got for the Urban
He
Meyer?
Said, best thing about being 14-1 when he was quote tweeting. So Ohio State tweeted out the last time Ohio State played Oregon, it was special. And then they showed Urban Meyer holding up his Urban Meyer arms mm-hmm. because he won the title. You sure. Because they beat Oregon the last time they played. Mm-hmm. And it was for the national championship.
Yeah.
And I went back and looked at that game. That score of that game. Okay, by the way. No. Oh, ah! Quiz. Two quizzes. About that game and the Rose Bowl of Terrell Pryor year. Mm-hmm. What was the point spread on the Oregon-Ohio State championship game?
Oregon-Ohio State championship game. Oh, gosh. I don't know that because they were there into their third street quarterback, Mariota. 8.5.
Ohio State -6.
Okay. And you say what?
I said 8.5.
Well, who? Who's favored?
Well, Ohio State was favored.
Did you know that Oregon was favored by 7 in that game?
No.
What? Yes.
It was the third string quarterback thing.
Yeah, the Cardale Jones.
Nobody thought Ohio State was still like, well, are they, you know, they beat Alabama.
Boy, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, Oregon was favored by a tutty.
Huh. Boy, that head sewn to the carpet there.
Also a close game until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was 21-20.
Yep.
Late third, 21-20, Ohio State, and then three drives capped by Zeke Elliott Tuds.
Yeah, and then Ohio,
put it away.
And then the Ohio State defense started cranking up the pressure, and that was Bosa. And
Elliott had 246 yards and 4 tutties in that game.
Yeah.
And Lady Antebellum sang the national anthem.
No.
Do you remember that?
I don't remember.
We
that.
Were down on the field.
I don't remember who sang the national anthem. I remember the celebration afterwards.
The TV rating, 18.8 for
big.
That game.
That's big.
Another trivia. Who was Oregon's leading rusher in that game?
Marcus.
Nope. He had 62 yards.
Marcus did. Who was their leading rusher? I don't know. Who was the... Was that Royce?
This is a fun fact. No. It was the great Thomas Tyner.
Oh, Thomas...
Leading rusher in that
Thomas
game.
Thomas Tyner, leading
yep.
rusher.
I 62 about yards. Him.
Yeah. And then in the Rose Bowl... that was back in 2010.
That's way, way back.
Chip Kelly's first year. They lost to Terrell Pryor. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the spread on that game was?
That was what? Masoli would have been the QB, right?
Yep.
Masoli.
He threw for 82 whopping yards in that game.
Yeah, and Pryor was a big deal. I'll stick with my Ohio State 8.5.
Oregon -5.
Really?
Yes.
Again?
Yes.
Why am I?
They were favored in both Ohio State games. Of those two games.
Huh.
Isn't that crazy?
I don't remember that at all.
Leading rush. And that game was close, too. It was 19-17 mm-hmm. going into the fourth quarter. And then Terrell Pryor did Terrell Pryor things.
Mm-hmm. Leading rusher?
Leading rusher in that game for Oregon. 70 yards.
LeGarrette Blount?
LaMichael James.
Okay.
Now of Burger fame.
Yeah, because that was where Blount came back. That was after the Byron Hout punch. And Blount came back at the end of the year.
Yeah, he came back in this game. I don't think he did.
I thought he played in the Civil War.
Yeah, you may be right about that.
I think he did.
But he had 5 carries and something like 30 yards. He didn't play in this game till late.
Okay.
He had like 5 carries and 30-some yards.
Yeah.
This also, that game, the final Rose Bowl aired on ABC.
Oh, that's a fun little fact. Both of those good games.
They were both good games.
I am not one of those guys that can remember the details, like going back to that.
Well, that's why I wanted to go back and remember, because we were at both of those games.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to go back and, because I know in my head I have what happened and what I remember happening.
Versus the
But I needed to go back and look at it.
Well, I don't remember Oregon being favored in either one.
No.
And they were decent favorites.
Yeah. And that Rose Bowl game got a 13 TV rating, too. Those were big-time games.
Well, to be fair, man, I mean, that year, after the Boise State thing, dude, Oregon housed people. I mean, that was the Chip days, man. With
well, that was his first year, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
so they lost to Boise.
They lost to Boise, and then they murdered people.
Yeah.
Like, they just were
dead.
No, they just they ran people off the field. And then the national title won. I guess it shouldn't be a surprise because they beat I don't remember what the final score was, but they beat the brakes off of Florida State. And Florida State was the reigning national champ, and they got Jameis Winston.
Mm-hmm.
And Oregon that was at the Rose Bowl, too. Oregon beat their ass.
Yeah, so, those Florida State fans I'll never forget. They were awful.
Yes.
Awful people.
Least favorite of the BCS
awful.
Era games, and it's not even close.
Obnoxious. Awful.
My favorite, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I thought Ohio State was pretty classy.
I liked the Badger fans.
Badgers were great. A little more drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, that's to be expected.
It's Wisconsin.
And there was another team.
Well,
we went to the Kansas State game.
The Kansas State game, which, whatever. Everyone knew what was happening there.
Yeah.
It was like, whatever. Auburn.
You know what? That might have been the lock of the century.
Oregon.
Kansas State in that game.
Have fun with that, Kansas State. And then we had the Auburn one. The national title
They were
game.
Good. They
yeah,
were,
I thought Auburn was fine.
They were a little cocky, but...
Yeah, I don't...
You know, they have reason to be.
The only group of fans that I remember like being annoyed by...
Florida State.
...was Florida State.
God.
They were a bit much.
Trashy MFers.
Yes.
All right. Is that classist of me?
Probably.
Good. Well, I'm staying on...
That guy's never listening to us again.
Oh, no.
He's been listening to us since the Furness days, but now he's out.
Whoa! Ian Furness?
Yeah, now he's disgusted.
All right. See you later. Coming up next, let's check in on baseball on The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Well, we have just a few minutes left. We're going to check in on the baseball.
Well, if we can check in on this, I just saw Pete Thamel tweeted out that the Big 12 has scheduled the call for Friday.
Yeah.
Where the official invites will happen, and it is a formality.
Right.
That BYU, Cincinnati, Central Florida, and Houston will be your new members of the Big 12 Conference.
Oots. Yeah, somebody was tweeting out today that Cincinnati had confirmed that they were applying for...
In Central Florida, it got leaked out, and then someone found BYU's application, and so it's, you know, it's...
Well, that happened fast.
Yeah, it's all a terrible secret, and so they're just saying now on Friday they will cast the vote, and that it's a formality, so that will be your new Big 12, and then...
You know what's kind of nice about it?
What?
Is that we don't know who the best teams are.
Yeah, like it's kind of like a parody.
It's going to be a ton of parody.
Yeah.
Well,
as a Kansas fan, I don't know how to feel about this.
You just get your ass kicked by 4 new teams?
Well, yeah. I just mean like more like long term. Like I'm not. Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're going to be this bad forever. At least I hope not. But well, they were in the Orange Bowl not too long ago.
That's true.
Well, it was kind of a long time ago now. But you know what I'm saying. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
Well, and we'll see, like, when teams announce that they're making the moves, very rarely do you have to wait the full amount of time. So Texas and Oklahoma got a couple more years in the Big 12. BYU can go immediately because they're an independent. And the others...
So next year, BYU in the Big 12 with Texas and Oklahoma?
That's where I don't know how all this is going to play out, because Texas and Oklahoma have to be there for a couple more years. Cincinnati, Houston, and who's the other one?
Central Florida.
Central Florida. They all have to wait out a couple years in their conference, but these things often get worked out and the divorce just becomes finalized with a couple early payments and you kind of move on. So the only one without any sort of buy-off and trying to work something out would be BYU. BYU could join the Big 12 next year and start rolling. Does the Big 12 want that though? Because again, you're splitting the pie an extra piece and it's still under the old TV deal. So they just tell BYU, wait, do they bring BYU in and make them a partial member? You know, a lot of, they did this with TCU and West Virginia. The Big 10 does this with Rutgers for a couple of years. You only get a partial payment. You don't get the full meal deal. Or do you now start, if you're the Big 12, do you start negotiating Texas and Oklahoma's buyout? And then you use that money to facilitate the other four schools' buyouts and just try to make this thing happen sooner than later and kind of move on with the divorce. All this stuff needs to be worked out, but sounds like on Friday you will have officially four new members, just a matter of when they start.
All right. Maybe we'll do some baseball tomorrow. I don't know. Also on tomorrow's show, you can catch Rop in the Bank at 4, where we give our hot picks. And then we will have the backup quarterback game tomorrow, too, which is always exciting.
Yes. And you guys find love out that. Whether or not we keep our jobs.
Yep. It's all on the line tomorrow.
And someone does bring up a good point here. I like this analogy. The Big 12 still has to eat a turd sandwich, but adding these four teams is like being able to put mustard on it. Yeah, that's about right.
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah. But here's the thing. You're no worse than like the ACC. You just don't have the one marquee program. You don't. That's what the Big 12 lacks.
They do in basketball.
That's true. They got Kansas. Now, if only Kansas basketball could somehow play football, you would be fine. That's the one thing that the new formed Big 12 will be good. It will be a solid Power 5 minus the flagship program. And we'll find out what that really means going forward with expansion and all that, how the Big 12 gets looked at. Because, again, I look at the ACC and tell me which one is the weaker conference minus Clemson. It's kind of the same thing.
I'll tell you what, I'm looking at these schools in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati, you know, if I'm talking about just basketball and football.
Yeah.
It's kind of Cincinnati. If you're saying give me the best program in this Pac-12, both basketball and Big 12.
It's Oklahoma State.
Both. But see, I don't know that it is, because Cincinnati basketball has been way better than Oklahoma State basketball.
Oklahoma State basketball has been good, and then Oklahoma State's
Cincinnati
football,
better.
Yeah, but Oklahoma State's football program year after year is a top 25 program, and Cincinnati is not.
They kind of seem like they are this or now.
Well, they are now over the last 2 or 3 years. But you could say I can't be on board with that, because, you know, if you're going to go back a number of years, Baylor was good at football when they had Captain Rape, and they just won the national title in basketball.
Houston's got Kelvin Sampson down there now, right?
Yeah, Houston basketball is legit.
Yeah, Iowa State. Look, I think Ohio's the Big 12's model should be, we're good.
Pretty good.
It's like that old Mariners tagline like 3 years ago. Yeah. Seattle Mariners baseball, good.
Yeah, not so bad.
We're pretty good. They just need one of those schools to develop into some sort of football powerhouse. They need an Oregon, right? They need someone to rise up and you know, become a,
well, that's kind of what I'm saying.
Become like a big brand.
Yeah. Well, maybe Cincinnati can't be that, but I don't know which one could be that. Although Kansas State was that for a bit in football.
Yeah.
With Bill Schneider. I mean, they were a legit 10-win team every year.
I mean, UCF. But the last, like, what, 4 or 5 years, they've been a really good team.
They have, but they don't play the sked.
It'll be interesting. Well, now that they're in a Power 5, you got to remember, now that you're dumping resources, could Houston or Central Florida, because I don't believe it's Cincinnati, and it's not going to be BYU. It's not. If you dumped a bunch of money now,
Gator.
Well, look, you have to recruit kids and be like, hey, do you like having sex and drinking?
No.
Then come to BYU.
No.
There's not enough white guys that want to be virgins or married.
Good point.
But with Houston and maybe Cincinnati, but I would say with Houston and Central Florida, you know, you put some Power 5 recruits in there and a little more money. Could one of those schools, you know, kind of rise up?
You know what? This is exactly what Kansas football needed right here. I think it's our turn. I think Kansas is going to be just as dominant in football as basketball and take over the Big 12.
You know what?
This is our window.
I would be on board with that.
With rock, Lance Leipold.
Rock chalk, man.
That's
1-0.
Right. Let's go.
Don't they play Texas this week?
No, they play Coastal Carolina, and I kind of like Kansas. I've been researching the game.
Isn't Kansas?
The spread like 30 or something?
The spread is 25. I just like them against the spread.
Oh, okay.
That spread is too high. And I'll tell you why tomorrow.
Okay.
When you pick them and rock in the bank?
I might.
Rock Chalk!
They're under consideration.
Hey, I'm on board with Kansas, man. And we get the BYU-Kansas rivalry now.
The Big 12, we're going to dominate.
Get ready for the whiteout coming your way. I'm not worried about football. You need to be worried about the 26-year-old white 6'7 center that BYU is going to throw at you.
Yeah, we just throw a 6'9 white guy right back at you.
Is that the only two schools that can throw a whiteout at you?
We're pretty good.
Yeah.
About
you're,
that.
You're whiteout greater than ours. Like, we have this.
We were whiter.
Syracuse is about to be a whiteout this year.
You've got the blizzard. We just got like a light wintry mix.
We were whiter under Roy Williams than we are under Bill Self. Mm. We got a little G in us with Bill Self. Yeah, Roy Williams, boy, he could run some whites at you.
The Kurt Heinrich and
Rafe LaFrance, Nick Collison.
Poster tag.
Yeah. All right. Club is next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.